If there was a pill I could give you that would make you immortal, how much would you pay for it?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Without Flesh.
Because you see, that's exactly what we have. And it's priceless, but it's also free. So why is it that nobody's coming to our churches to get this immortality? I mean, we can say that it's all their fault, or maybe there's something about it that we've forgotten.
Learn more and purchase Without Flesh at issuesetc.org.
So many great directors nominated this year.
I don't know, Chris. I thought there was something missing from the list this year.
Vaginas?
Yeah. Sorry, think how much the Oscars have changed in the past 92 years.
Yeah, they've changed a lot, Steve.
Yeah, they have. Back in 1929, there were no black acting nominees.
No. And now in 2020, we got one.
Yeah.
We celebrate all the amazing talent in this room. We celebrate all the women who directed phenomenal films. And I'm so proud to stand here as a black, queer artist telling stories.
And the Oscar goes to Parasite.
Some of the voices from Sunday's Academy Awards. It is both the highlight and the end of the self-congratulatory Hollywood Awards season. The Oscars are over. Now begins the campaigning for next year's Oscars. There were some political statements made, but it wasn't too political. It was politically correct. There's no doubt about that. Who won and why? And one question in my mind is persistent. We talked recently with Pastor Ted Geese about The Irishman, nominated for 10 different awards, I believe, and it didn't get any. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon, the 13th of February. We'll talk about the winners of the 2020 Academy Awards with Pastor Ted Geese. Then a little later, Joy Pullman of The Federalist joins us to talk about the Equal Rights Amendment and comments by the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on that subject. Joining us to discuss the 2020 Academy Awards, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
What were your general impressions of the 92nd Academy Awards?
Well, I thought that overall they were kind of less political than usual. I mean, there were some political comments. There was a film called American Factory, which is a Netflix documentary, which happened to be also produced by this Higher Ground production company, which belongs to Barack and Michelle Obama. And one of the people involved in that, I think that one of the directors, Julia Reichertz, calls out during her acceptance speech, she says, "Workers of the world unite," which of course is, you know, the main slogan of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. But, you know, and also Brad Pitt in his acceptance speech, which we'll probably look at here, you know, mentioned John Bolton in it and kind of alluded to the way that the film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which he was nominated for and won for Best Supporting Actor, that film ended differently than the actual events ended. So he kind of, you know, talks about John Bolton and suggests that maybe Quentin should make a movie where the events end differently in the movie than they did in real life. Those were like the major political kind of comments that kind of popped up, or at least the ones that stood out to me the most. But generally speaking, overall, I thought it was less political than previous years had been.
With that said, it was certainly as much or more politically correct than it is. I mean, I'm wondering if how Hollywood's going to top itself with its self-flagellation for not nominating enough women or people of color.
Yeah, and that is stuff directed internally to themselves, right? So oftentimes I think where things rankle the general population that might watch or catch or find out things about the Oscars, because the viewership was down again. But I think the thing that most rankles people is when it's the powerful, quote-unquote, rich elite telling them that they're bad. They don't mind as much when the powerful, rich elite are pointing at each other saying, hey, by the way, you need to do a better job with X, Y, and Z. So I think that may be a little bit of a difference, but you're right. I mean, they did cover over details about, you know, not having enough women directors or having any women directors nominated in the best directors category and some things like that. And also only having one African-American person nominated in any of the roles for acting related things. So there was a little bit of that. But overall, just in general, I think that they were maybe more internally focused than externally focused when it came to politics and all of the SJW related stuff.
I wanted to ask one question regarding that, and that is, a member of the Academy, the author and sometimes featured player in his own films adapted from his books, Stephen King, tweeted about the nominations that initially he said, look, it's talent over any other consideration. I only vote talent. And he later was kind of forced by the Twitter mob to retract and apologize. What does that say about the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences?
Well, I mean, I guess it says that they're more interested in ideology than they are in quality, which that's not necessarily good news, by the way. I mean, I think that people want, like, it, when we think of vocation, we want to have people really rise to the occasion and make sure they're producing quality work. And sometimes, you know, you have to mitigate your ideological ideas in order to be focused. And I think that this is what that's about. And it's really actually unfortunate that Stephen King was being forced to backpedal on that. I mean, he has a lot of projects that have been going on and a lot of irons in the fire. So, I mean, that's par for the course for Hollywood right now. They come out hard against people that they see as upsetting their particular apple cart.
Which of the films that we have reviewed here on Issues Etc. won awards at the Oscars?
We can start with Toy Story 4, which is from Disney. That won Best Animated Feature. They won one award for that, one Oscar. One Oscar went to Jojo Rabbit, which is a Fox Searchlight film. Taika Waititi won for Best Adapted Screenplay for that. Two Oscars went to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is a Sony Pictures release. And in that one, they won for Best Production Design because they had to make Hollywood look like 1968 or 1969, which it doesn't look like that anymore. And then also they won for Best Actor in a Supporting Role for Brad Pitt.
Thank you, the Academy, for this honor of honors. They told me I only have 45 seconds up here, which is 45 seconds more than the Senate gave John Bolton this week. I'm thinking maybe Quentin does a movie about it. In the end, the adults do the right thing. This really is about Quentin Jerome Tarantino. You are original. You are one of a kind. The film industry would be a much drier place without you. And I love the ethos you gave Cliff Booth. Look for the best in people. Expect the worst, but look for the best. Leo, I'll ride on your coattails any day, man. The view's fantastic. And to the rest of the cast and crew, Big Bad Bob Richardson, Robert Garcia, Richie, my man Mike Moe. Hey, you know, I also want to say, you know, while we're doing all this, I think it's time we give a little love to our stunt coordinators and our stunt crews. Listen, I'm a bit gobsmacked. I'm not one to look back, but this has made me do so, and I think of my folks taking me to the drive-in to see Butch and Sundance and loading up my car and moving out here, and Gina and Ridley giving me my first shot, to all the wonderful people I've met along the way, to stand here now. Once upon a time in Hollywood, I think that's the truth. This is for my kids, who color everything I do. I adore you.
Well, Brad Pitt's been in the news a lot for his speeches at various award ceremonies through the season. What did you make of that?
I thought that this is really, you know, when you get past the political, you know, snipe at the beginning, it's very gracious. I thought that it's a good example of somebody who shows love towards their fellow castmates and the person who actually put the movie together. And then also, like, looking back at his own life and seeing, being thankful for those people who helped him along the way to get to where he is. This is actually kind of like that second half, or the last 2/3 of the acceptance speech is kind of the sort of acceptance speech that most people actually want to see from somebody who wins an award like this. So this is just something that I thought that it was very gracious. And there have been a couple of them had this kind of gracious quality to them, which I thought was a little more commendable once you get past the political comments.
It's nice to see someone of his caliber of acting acknowledging that it is a team effort all the way down to the people you will whose names you will never know, from Quentin Tarantino to people that go unnamed.
Yeah, and he also has won an Oscar before. Like 2014, he won Best Motion Picture of the Year, so he was involved in that for the film 12 Years a Slave. So he was connected to that film, so he won one then. And again, that was a big ensemble thing, and he definitely is pointing out in this case, like even to all of, like he was playing a stuntman. So here he's like saying, hey, remember these guys too. And they don't have an Oscar for Best Stuntman. So it was a great shout out to those guys.
What about the Oscar for the film that you intensely disliked, Marriage Story?
Yeah, Marriage Story won an Oscar for Laura Dern for Best Supporting Actress. And she has a good performance in the film. I think it was perfectly good. And any listener who ended up watching that film may have noticed, too, that there was one kind of mini, speech that she gives to Scarlett Johansson's character about motherhood. And it gets really kind of angry when it comes to religious related things and motherhood. So we didn't end up talking about that angle with it, but she says things about the Virgin Mary and God the Father and stuff that, you know, like is not good. So I was not hoping for her to win this. She won it and there you go. I mean, she's a good actress. She's done lots of different things. I would hope that she would win for something that didn't have like blasphemous comments in it. So that's for the award that Marriage Story won. The movie Joker won 2 Oscars. So it won for the original score. And this is one that, and I apologize, the last name is Icelandic, but the lady's first name is Hildur. And she is the first woman to win in this category. So that was a big deal, and particularly for Hollywood, because they had this emphasis on women being involved in all aspects of filmmaking. But they did focus more on the directing part, you know, not having women in the directing. Here, of course, you know, it's for the orchestral stuff. And then the film also won for Best Lead Actor. So Best Actor went to Joaquin Phoenix.
God, I'm full of so much gratitude right now. And I do not feel elevated above any of my fellow nominees or anyone in this room, because we share the same love, the love of film, and this form of expression has given me the most extraordinary life. I don't know what I'd be without it. But I think the greatest gift that it's given me, and many of us in this room, is the opportunity to use our voice for the voiceless. I've been thinking a lot about some of the distressing issues that we are facing collectively. And I think at times we feel, or we're made to feel, that we champion different causes. But for me, I see commonality. I think whether we're talking about gender inequality or racism or queer rights or indigenous rights, or animal rights, we're talking about the fight against injustice. We're talking about the fight against the belief that one nation, one people, one race, one gender, or one species has the right to dominate, control, and use and exploit another with impunity. I think that we've become very disconnected from the natural world, and many of us, what we're guilty of is an egocentric worldview, the belief that we're the center of the universe. We go into the natural world and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby, even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal. And I think we fear the idea of personal change, because we think that we have to sacrifice something to give something up. But human beings at our best are so inventive and creative and ingenious. And I think that when we use love and compassion as our guiding principles, we can create, develop, and implement systems of change that are beneficial to all sentient beings and to the environment. Now, I've been a scoundrel in my life. I've been selfish. I've been cruel at times, hard to work with, and ungrateful. But so many of you in this room have given me a second chance. And I think that's when we're at our best, when we support each other, not when we cancel each other out for past mistakes, but when we help each other to grow, when we educate each other, when we guide each other towards redemption. That is the best of humanity. When he was 17, my brother wrote this lyric. He said, "Run to the rescue with love, and peace will follow." Thank you.
What do you make of that, Ted?
It's a real mixed bag, and I think some context helps with this. I think anybody listening to this, particularly like a Lutheran who happens to be watching or listening to this, when you hear him saying, you know, "I've been a scoundrel my whole life," and, you know, and he's basically kind of giving a confession of sins, as it were, or at least he's talking about his condition as a person and how he needs redemption. When we hear that, we're like, well, that's good. Like, you know, he's something good is happening there. If he's really digging in the midst of everything, and, you know, he's been given eyes to see and ears to hear that he's got problems and that he needs redemption, this is a wonderful thing. But so much of it is so out there, right? And I think when it comes to the context part of it, like, one thing that people kind of, some people would know and some people don't know, is that he was part of his whole family, in fact, and the brother that he talks about, River Phoenix, who people might know from movies like My Own Private Idaho. He was like the young Indiana Jones in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And he was with Harrison Ford in a movie called The Mosquito Coast. And he was in the Stephen King movie Stand By Me. That brother that he talked about, River Phoenix, died tragically in an overdose at connected to a nightclub in Hollywood called the Viper Room, which was partly owned by Johnny Depp. And he was young. He was just in his early 20s when he died. So he's referencing back to that. But their whole family has this, also this relationship with the Children of God, which is a known doomsday sex cult that had all sorts of stuff where little kids were being sexually abused along with everyone else, like in orgies and stuff. So he had a very hard upbringing when it came to that kind of stuff. His family was involved with that from 1973 to 1977. So that, at a very early age, he was exposed to things that can, you know, really hurt and harm somebody. And there was I was just reading a little article from the San Francisco Chronicle from 2005, where it talked about this is a quote from it. It says, "Sex wasn't the only thing stolen from them. It wasn't even the biggest thing. Their spirituality was stolen. God was stolen from them." So he comes from a place of a profound brokenness, and he's had a complex life, and he's had people in his family have gone through horrible things, and they've gone through it together. So in some ways, he is a really fantastic actor, but he's also, you know, a deeply flawed individual, like so many of us are. But he's got this stuff in his life that's going on, and I think you kind of see almost, if you know that context, you see so much of it, kind of him just struggling and like trying to latch on to something in the midst of all of it. And I think that, you know, he's somebody in Hollywood that people would be good to pray for, that he would get the help that he needs, especially in his spiritual life.
We're talking with Pastor Ted Geese about the 2020 Academy Awards. We will discuss the big winner, and that was Parasite. Stay tuned. Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too.
always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, teaches St. Paul. But what about those who cannot hear? Can they be saved? The February issue of the Lutheran Witness illuminates this topic and others, including hearing the gospel while singing the faith, how to listen to sermons, and proclaiming the gospel in foreign lands. Come, learn how the church confesses the word in words. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $135 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make a $135 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the 2020 Academy Awards winners with Pastor Ted Geese. Pastor Geese, some others that we reviewed, Ford versus Ferrari, 1917, and then the big winner at the Academy Awards, Parasite.
Yeah, Parasite, that one was the kind of the dark horse going into this. When we talked about it, I really appreciated the film. It's kind of like a Hitchcock kind of suspense film, like a bit of a thriller. It's a dark, satirical kind of commentary on, class divisions in South Korea. And it won for Best Original Screenplay. And then it won for Best, International Feature Film. And the director, Bong Joon-ho, thought, well, that's it, right? Like, I've won what I was going to win. And then he won for Best Director, which really threw him for a loop. And then the movie won Best Picture. This is the first time a South Korean film won Best International Feature Film. That used to be called Foreign Language Film. And it's the first time a foreign language film, I think, won Best Picture. So this is a huge upset and a sweep that was there. And the director was super gracious also.
그것이 가장 창의적인 것이다. 그 말을 하셨던 분이 누구였냐면 책에서 읽은 거였지만 예.
Thank you so much. When I was young and studying cinema, there was a saying that I carved deep into my heart, which is the most personal is the most creative.
그 말은 that quote was from our great Martin Scorsese. So
When I was in school, I studied Martin Scorsese's films. Just to be nominated was a huge honor. I never thought I would win.
그 저의 영화를 아직 그 미국의 관객들이나 사람들이 모를 때 항상 제 영화를 리스트에 뽑고 좋아했고 했던 우리 켄틴 형님이 계신데 정말 사랑합니다. 예.
When people in the U.S. were not familiar with my film, Quentin always put my films on his list. He's here. Thank you so much.
Quentin, I love you. 텍사스 전기톱으로 이렇게 다섯 개로 잘라서 나누고 싶은 마음입니다.
And Todd and Sam, great directors that I admire, if the Academy allows, I would like to get a Texas chainsaw, split the Oscar trophy into five, and share it with all of you.
Thank you. I will drink until next morning. Thank you.
Well, that was very magnanimous.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, like to be nominated alongside your personal heroes, like the people you looked up to, like as a young filmmaker, that all by itself is a win. And then to actually win, you know, like when he says that about Martin Scorsese, Martin Scorsese actually got a standing ovation and everybody turned towards him to show their appreciation towards Martin Scorsese. So in a way, it was almost like they both won. Like they were both being, you know, given all the adulation from the room. And then also, you know, like at the end of that, he says, you know, like, I wish I could split this up between the five of us because he, you know, loves them all so much, particularly like Quentin Tarantino, who had been this champion of his along the way, which is, that's kind of, you know, I found that it's not like by the time you get to this point and all of these films in they're all good films. Like they're all deserving of winning an award. So really that's where the meritocracy of this kind of kicks into play. And as outsiders looking in, we don't know all of the interpersonal stuff between everybody that kind of prompts them towards which film they vote for. But this was a dark horse winner of a film and super worthwhile and deserving of all of the awards it won.
So speaking of Martin Scorsese, he was nominated for everything, or his film The Irishman was nominated for almost everything, 10 nominations. You would think that just the chances would increase for him. But the film walked away with nothing.
Yeah, empty-handed, a big 0 out of 10. So Martin Scorsese's The Irishman was shut out of Best Director, Best Picture, Al Pacino and Joe Pesci for Best Supporting Actor. Well, only one of them could have won it. Adapted screenplay, cinematography, costume design, production design, film editing, visual effects. So the whole shebang. And, you know, sometimes people, I think that they vote going, you know, like, you know, are you going to make more movies? Yes. Is this your year? Maybe not. Can we imagine that you're going to do some more great things in the future? Perhaps, right? Like that can be part of why people vote the way they vote. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, all of those nominations and then not to get anything is disappointing, right?
How did it miss for visual effects? Because I just finished reading I Heard You Paint Houses, the latest edition, which is stunning. But Martin Scorsese brought in ILM and they invented an entirely new technology for changing the ages of these well-familiar faced actors pretty radically in real time without putting dots all over their faces.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that it didn't win that. I mean, like the one that did win was 1917, which also, you know, was doing pretty spectacular things. So this is where when two films are up that are both doing spectacular things, only one of them can win, where they don't tend to do shared awards. And even with all of that technology for The Irishman, have you seen it yet? Did you watch it? Okay,
no.
So there is kind of early on in the film, there's a scene where Joe Pesci is there and Robert De Niro is there, and it's around a truck. Like he's trying to fix the truck and Joe Pesci comes up and helps him. But that scene was kind of, it didn't work that great. And you've kind of felt at that one moment like you're being dragged kicking and screaming through the uncanny valley. For the most part, for the rest of the film, it really works in a lot of places really, really well. It's new technology. It's not perfectly realized, and that might be part of it.
Finally, then, the season ends. It's like their Christmas. The award season ends. I'd like your pastoral thoughts on just the culture that says of celebrities, you can indulge yourselves not only with the money we pay to see your films, but by patting yourself on the back about a dozen times for several months running.
Well, I think that like most industries have awards, but most industries they're not televising these awards. So we don't all see the awards in other vocations out there, not to the extent that we do for this. And it's partly because they are like in the public eye because the product is super public. encouragement is a good thing. I think that encouragement that, like you were talking about, that gives license to bad behavior is not good. And I think that, like, you know, I was talking about, we don't know all of the details about why people vote the way they vote. But it's interesting that, you know, Brad Pitt wins for Best Supporting Actor. He does a great job. He's well worthy of winning that award based on the merit of his performance. But you also have to remember that, like, he's a guy who stood up for Gwyneth Paltrow when she was being accosted by Harvey Weinstein back after she had made the Shakespeare in Love film and was starting to work on this movie Emma that she was doing. And he stuck his neck out. They were dating at the time, and he stuck his neck out to protect her. And I wonder whether or not people remembered that and factored that into their voting. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of internal stuff that goes on with Hollywood that we don't know anything about. For instance, the cinematographer that won, if you go to the guy's IMDb page, and it's just an amazing amount of things that he's done. So this is Roger Deakins, and he won for 1917. But you look at the people he's worked with and the quality of the films that he's made over time, and you see that that's where you can start to see this meritocracy, where they're not just awarding the actual final product, but probably also their business relationships, their working relationships, their personal relationships with each other. There's more moving parts, I think, than what we see looking from the outside in. We're just being presented an aspect of the whole thing.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary at St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. You can read his movie reviews on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Joy Pullman is with us next, managing editor of The Federalist. We'll talk about the Equal Rights Amendment and comments made about it by Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
If there was a pill I could give you that would make you immortal, how much would you pay for it?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Without Flesh.
Because you see, that's exactly what we have. And it's priceless. But it's also free. So why is it that nobody's coming to our churches to get this immortality? I mean, we can say that it's all their fault. Or maybe there's something about it that we've forgotten.
Learn more and purchase Without Flesh at issuesetc.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacrament faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9:15 a.m. and the Divine Service at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.